my interview with Jimmy Boozer. It is November the 4th, 1995. When and where were you born?
I was born on February the 1st, 1949, in Red Bank Clinic in Red Bank, Tennessee.
In Red Bank, Tennessee, all right. When did you come to Alabama?
In a few months after I was born, my parents moved back to Alabama. They were originally from Alabama.
All right. Where did you live when you came back to Alabama?
I lived on Sand Mountain, but my parents returned to Alabama to do farm work, work on the farm.
All right. You always lived in the same area during your childhood?
Lived within a 5-mile circle about all my life.
When did you start school?
Started school in 1955 at Macedonia Junior High School.
Which Macedonia is the community that you lived in,
right,
for all those years.
Near Jackson, Alabama.
And you went to school at Macedonia, I assume, through junior high.
Yeah, I went there for 9 years. At that time, junior high at that school consisted of grades 1 through 9.
And where'd you go to high school?
Went to high school at Jackson High School.
You mentioned when your family came back to Alabama that they came back to do farm work. What kind of farm work did they do, and how old were you when you started helping them work?
Most of the time, part of the time, my dad just hired out as, you know, just a laborer there on the farm doing whatever they needed done. Then we done in the spring, and we grew a lot of cotton. That time we worked at picking and hoeing cotton. And I was probably about 5 years old, best I can remember, when I started going to the field.
And what kind of work did you do after you know, when you started?
Yeah, when I was, like I said, I was about five, I'd go to the field, and I had me a little pick sack. It was a little tow sack, we called it. And it had a little homemade strap on it that Mother fixed on there where you could hang it around your shoulder and neck and pick it in.
So the little person had a little sack.
Right? Yeah, that's what it was. At this age, you know, I couldn't pick much then, but sometimes I'd get away from my mother out there in the field, and I'd go around through there with other people and picking, and I'd just empty my sack over in there instead of going back and looking her up and pouring it in hers, which that wasn't helping her out very much when I poured it in somebody else's sack. But as time went on, I graduated from that tow sack into a bigger sack. I think back then they had about three or four different sizes of sacks. I know they had a 6-foot and I believe a 7.5 and maybe a 9-foot pick sack that they used. And if you got bigger, you chose whatever size sack you felt most comfortable with or how much you wanted to carry or pull.
If you could pick more, maybe you needed a bigger sack.
Yeah, it only depended. Some of the fast pickers would use a small sack and go empty up more often. And some would take the bigger sack and pack it full. And we used to pack it. I've got in there and packed it with my feet. Take my feet and push it down in there trying to keep from having to go way up so quick. But most of the time, that just slowed you down because you'd be pulling all that weight behind you when you could have went on and emptied it and come back. But a lot of people would, a lot of the kids especially, would pack their sacks as full as they could get them to want to have a whole lot of weight when they got to the scales at one time. Back then, we had a no what I call a P-type scale. They had a big P and a little P that they used to weigh it with. And later on, they graduated to a spring-loaded scale. They got a modern-type scale, and it was spring-loaded, just hanging on there, and it was pulled down Huey the way. We kind of had a rough time back when we were picking, though, because they didn't have a lot of ways of hauling it, and a lot of times they would just use a tractor and a wagon, and they would drop the wagon off at the field and then go on somewhere else to use the tractor. You couldn't move the wagon until maybe they'd come back at lunchtime or that afternoon and move it for you. They tried to place it where when they brought it out there that you could pick a pretty good spot of cotton without having to move it. I can remember a lot of times we'd go way out away from the wagon and tip back towards it where we'd be closer to it every time we went the way up. And
did you have to weigh the cotton after every sack you picked?
Yeah, every sack full was weighed. We weighed every sack, went and emptied up, and then started okay. Again. And they had so many pounds, I forget how many pounds it was then, like 500 pounds made a bale or something.
Yeah.
You put that much on there, depending on how big the wagon was. A lot of times they'd just have a wagon big enough to hold one bale, and then sometimes they'd have one big enough to hold more than a bale, and that's how many pounds they would try to make sure they put on that wagon. I learned as time went on, I could hold my own with about anybody picking cotton.
So you were a pretty good cotton picker then?
Yeah. Pretty fair.
You remember how much you got paid for picking cotton?
No, I don't remember now how much we got paid. It wasn't very much. We got paid by the pound. Every how many pounds we picked, we got paid so much pounds.
What did you do with the money you made?
Well, I always had to buy shoes and school clothes for school. You know, had to help mother and dad out with that money is what we did with it.
So as far as the community went, there wasn't just a whole lot of money to go around for anybody, really, was there?
No, nobody much had any except, you know, there were a few well off like they always has been down through the years, but most people were just poor people, you know, across the mountain. And,
it was just
farming.
Working hard, trying to make a living.
Yeah.
And you done worked in the cotton field. How long did, when did the cotton working in the field kind of play out?
It didn't play out. The picking cotton played out in mid to late 60s, I'd say, somewhere around there.
And that was because of cotton pickers and insecticides and herbicides to kill the weeds and stuff like that?
Yeah, the cotton pickers took over, and then, and of course, from time to time, people had a lot of problems with the boll weevil, too, would eat the cotton crop up if it didn't poison it. And they got to change the poison. They got away from it. For a long time they used DDT, and when they quit using that, the weevils got bad again, and then they got control over them later on. But the cotton pickers took over, and then by the late 60s, cotton had just about played out on Sand Mountain. They grew it in the valley.
Why do you think that is?
Well, people went to more, they could make more money off other crops. They would grow corn and soybeans was the big thing. And a lot of times they could grow two crops a year. They would plant beans and then they'd plant a winter crop of wheat or something. And they could get off two crops a year.
So cotton prices going down ultimately led to cotton just kind of disappearing as far as Sand Mountain goes.
It phased out, and then the demand for cotton was not as much as it was at one time either. I can remember back one time when I was picking cotton, I had a I had a first cousin. We picked all the time together about it. And one morning I beat him to the field and had nearly a sack full when he got there. So we was always racing with each other. And so that afternoon, about 4 o'clock, I had him beat all day long. And he wanted to go home about 4 o'clock. He talked me into going home. And so we got to my house before we come to theirs. They lived on across the field from us. And so he talked me into going in early. We went on and went to my house, and he went on across the field towards his. But instead of going home, he made a circle and went all the way back to the cotton field and picked another sack of cotton before dark and beat what I had done that day. Of course, I guess that kind of evened out. After I beat him out there that morning, he already had some when he got there. But he walked about a mile and a half just to
win.
Yeah, just to win. I remember, too, when we picked the cotton, we tried to pick it as clean as possible, you know, try to keep the leaves, the trash out of it. And a lot of times it was rain would knock something out on the ground, and they wanted you to pick it up off of the ground, but they wanted you to shake it out real good, shake the dirt off of it before you put it in your sack. I know one time we was working for this man, and he had his granddaughter in charge of weighing the cotton. And she'd come down there and stay with us, and most of all, she done was weighed. And she checked the cotton, too, as it's been emptied out, to, you know, make sure people were picking it pretty clean, everything looked all right. There was this man and his son that was picking, too. They hired out to pick. And, remember, my dad was up in the wagon emptying their sacks, and she was looking at it. They was green leaves and cotton bowls and I think maybe even some rocks in their sack. And, you know, they put in there probably make it weigh a little heavier or something. And you saw what a mess it was as it's being emptied out. She asked my dad what she should do. And he told her, he said, you'll have to tell them if they can't beat that. That you don't need them to be picking no cotton for you. And if they can't keep it cleaner than that, you told them, and they just got mad and left, went home, never did come back. But I reckon they just didn't want to pick it clean.
That kind of proved that they knew that they were throwing them rocks and stuff in there, didn't it?
Yeah. A lot of times when we were picking cotton, if we weren't close to the house, we'd have to carry our lunch with us. This usually consisted of, some leftover biscuits with something on them for breakfast, or maybe a bologna sandwich, a can of fortune beans or something. That's about all we had to carry. And we'd go to eat lunch. Back then, we didn't have all these coolers or couldn't afford to buy them like you do now to carry ice and stuff to the field. Unless somebody just happened to go get a cold drink or something, we just had to either our drink would be warm, or maybe we had carried some ice water that morning, it'd still be cold, we'd drink that. And we'd usually try to find us a shade tree at lunch, because it's usually pretty warm in the fall picking that cotton. You'd want a place to sit down and stay in the shade, you know, while you eat. Try to enjoy it a little bit.
When did you start picking cotton? What month or what, you know, what, when in the fall did you start picking cotton?
We usually started picking in sometime around September. In late August or September. We tried to get through before bad weather. Back then, a lot of times, they'd pick it maybe 3 times. You know, they'd let some more open. There'd be some more green bowls there to open. They didn't try to pick it all at one time. They'd pick over 2 or 3 times. Maybe the 3rd time they'd go back just to get the scrappy stuff. But later years, they got where they let it all open and tried to pick it, one picking. They didn't go through it 2 or 3 times. And then when when the machinery took over, they let it all open and then spray it to knock the leaves off of it, and then where the pickers could pick it better. But they done a pretty good job. It looked like, to me, you know, when you look at a field, it looked like it just made a mess because they didn't throw it all up down the stalks. But there really wasn't that much cotton left there. It's just the way it kind of made it look like a mess.